Mr. Shepherd, a friend of ours, he worked shipyard too, and they stayed down there. And he helped them tear them down after they. And he said they'd have all these dishes and mugs and things on there, and they would destroy them before they would give them to anybody.
And why was that?
The government for him.
Hmm.
They wouldn't even give him a mug, but they would break it and bear the glass. And they won't give you gum, they won't give you nothing. They won't.
What was the housing like that y'all lived in during the war down there?
Well, they were all built. They were five apartments together, and they were built in rows, just like barracks and all.
How close was it to the shipyard?
About 3 miles. Some of them was walking distance, but they just had to build them wherever they.
Who kept Brenda and Elmer?
A friend of mine moved in with us and kept them. Loretta went down there and stayed a long time and kept them.
And did she work or did she just keep them?
She kept them.
But Everett was in the Navy.
Everett was in service, and she come down there and kept Virginia. And Brenda, I took Brenda's bottle away from her. And Virginia still had her bottle because she was younger. And Loretta went down there to keep them while I worked. Brenda would take Virginia's bottle away from her. So she had to wing pull over Virginia because Brenda went down there to have her meal. And one day.
Did they go to school when they were down there in Florida?
No, well, Ella did. She was on the. She was just a year old when we moved in there. And so Ella was out sick. That was before I went to work. And Ella was out sick that day. And so I sent her to school the next day. Well, when Granny come in from work, I said, I'm worried death about Ella. She hadn't come in. And he said, well, what in your world has happened? I said, they had a bus. She rode the bus. And so we decided we better go see about it. Well, none of the kids. She wasn't none of the kids nowhere. And she was walking, coming up that six-lane highway. They'd be up the six-lane on County Track. Walking, coming from that school. She had to walk about 2 miles or more to get home, coming up that highway. And I want you to know, I wrote that teacher a letter the next day. I said, they kept them in for the things that they said, tell your mothers, y'all going to have to stay in tomorrow for the way you acted today. You'd be late coming home. Well, see, Ella wasn't married. Well, she made her stay in, too. And we didn't know what had happened to her. And she had to watch one, she hadn't got kids. She's in second grade.
Tell us what she told Granny about the nickel for ice cream.
No, she said.
Had no money in your ice cream?
No, she went and bought a lot of bubble gum, balloons, and this thing and that thing. Her and little girl, she played with. And this lady was keeping Granny.
Now, who was she?
Miss Shepherd. She said, Ella, honey, said, you ought to spend your mother and daddy's money like that. So they put that money in here for me to buy a grocery with. I'd put money in a jar for her to buy a grocery. Somebody come along selling vegetables, she'd buy them cheaper and you'd get them in hand, things like that. So she said, you ought to spend your mother and daddy's money like that. So they worked hard for their money. Shoot, Granny, they got more money than they'll ever spend. Lord have mercy. But that made me so mad because that teacher kept her in like that.
Hmm.
She didn't keep her in no more.
And Daddy had a brother that during the war they'd have blackouts.
Now what is that?
The whole town had to go dark.
No lights, period.
And there was one person on the block that would walk the block to make sure you couldn't even light a cigarette. Had to be told to blackout in case they were the bomb and couldn't see the city.
And our car lights, we had to paint them in black halfway down.
My goodness.
Well, they wouldn't shine and they could swim on the Gulf. Yeah. The sirens went off, you turned everything off. I mean, you
know. About time you went deep sea fishing and caught a shark.
Well, first time I went deep sea fishing,
Did y'all have the weekends off when y'all?
Sometimes we'd have Sunday, Saturday and Sundays off a lot of times. Maybe they was laying the keel for a new boat. We worked on a certain keel. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We worked on number one. And when that boat was launched, well, we just have to fiddle around till they got it started up where we have plenty to do. But anyway, we was all going to go deep sea fishing on Sunday. I thought, Lord, I've never been fishing in my life on Sunday. That's awful. I just don't know. But anyway, we went, got started out there, and it come up a storm. All the burners and fizzers was going on fishing. And we had to come back, and then we went again. And I thought I was home. We had to let our lines. I didn't have reels. You just let your lines down beside the boat. They had a rail there. And where it pulled that line in, it was cut down in that.
In the ship?
In the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And ran the boat, fishing boat. And I thought I was hung in the propeller. I was holding that line. It kept pulling and pulling. I was hauling my lines hung in the propeller because they turn the boats and they make your lines. And so one of the attendants on the boat come over there and got over there. He said, "You're not hung, you got a fish." And we pulled, and I was holding it. Boy, just cut my finger to the bone. I let him take it, and it was going. I slammed my foot on it. And they done had him up where they could see him, and it was a shock.
My
he said, "Boy, between 500 and 600 pounds. And they was fish, big as I am. They call them pilot fish. They live on them, like life on your head. These fish live on other fish.
Mm-hmm.
Parasites, I guess what you call them, ain't it?
No. Would y'all eat the fish that you caught?
Oh, yeah, we catch red snap. And one time we
did
went,
y'all have a television when y'all lived down there?
No. Done good to have a radio. I know when we first went down there, we had our radio, and they hadn't turned electricity down in our park. But we stayed there. We had a bed and a camera thing. And so finally they turned it on when it did. I don't know what happened. I had it to the voltage set to have something burn our radio up, just burn it inside it, just quit. So we couldn't find one down there nowhere. A radio. And we come home, we found one. A record player and a radio. I still got it in you.
My goodness.
And I've listened to I forget that sportscaster. He died, but I never will forget he was talking the night of the invasion, Normandy, and he said, if you had a little one, if you didn't, said get on your knees and say a prayer for those boys, because there's many of them that won't come back tonight. Mm-hmm. He was so sad. Everybody listened to him all the time. He'd tell us all about it.
Was it Gabriel
Heater? Yeah, Gabriel Heater. That's who it was.
Did you know anybody personally that got killed during World War II?
Yeah. Grant Lee's had two sisters, two nieces, both their husbands got killed. And there's Terry, boy, out there at Moulton was on one of them ships that was sunk in Pearl Harbor. I can't think that all, but there was a lot. Sparksville, when Sparksville was that we went to school with, he was killed. And then a terrible, two of them from that Matt Meyer that came to us, they both got killed. I mean, Grantley's brother, he died as he come home. He was red-headed and fair complexion. His lips, they blistered all the time in the Pacific. He said, well, if he got over there, his lips blistered, it's so hot, and they never would heal. And when he come home, he went to the doctor, and they sent him to Memphis, and it was canceled. They took his lips off and everything, but he died. 27-year-old.
Now, how far did you go in high school?
I didn't go to high school.
What grade did you get to?
I went through the ninth grade.
The ninth grade.
And I had some friends that finished, and darn, I didn't know more than they did.